Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And this is the Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. Today we will be concluding the message, The Other Man. Amen. And we're excited that God would give us the opportunity to minister this word. Before I go any further, though, I want Prophetess Crystal to go ahead and give us our announcements and lead us in our morning prayer. The Prophetess.
Praise the Lord, everybody. And once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I am just excited that you were able to join us here this morning. Just want to go quickly into the announcements. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m., and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen. Every Thursday, join me for Prophetic Atmosphere at 7 p.m. And you can see, hear us all live right here at www.ctkr.org. That's ctkr.org. That is our website. You take a minute and peruse through our website to learn more about myself and Apostle McQueen, about Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, as well as being able to learn more about the ministries that we cover overseas. And also, for those of you who are interested as well to give, amen, we do have a donation or a donate button that is located on our website. And as you pray and ask God what it is that you need to give to those that are overseas, not only do they need your prayers, people of God, but they also need your financial support as well. They too have a work and a ministry to do, and we want to assist them, amen, in completing their assignment in God. Visit them. Also, they all have, and I mean every last one of them, have Facebook pages, so you can go to their Facebook page and actually learn more about their ministries. And if you wish to connect with them as friends on the Facebook page, you could do that as well. Amen. Speaking of the Facebook page, we also have Facebook pages as well, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, as well as Women of Prophetic Destiny. Like us on our Facebook page. Send us a prayer request. Send us a praise report. Amen. Let us know what it is that you need God to do in your life, and someone will touch and agree with you to do just that. Amen. Amen. We also have on our pages as well as our web pages a contact page. If you would like myself or Apostle McQueen to come and speak at any one of your programs, please let us know. Give us as much information as you can where our contact page is located, and someone will contact you or reach out to you within 24 to 48 hours. Amen. Those are the announcements for today. Let us quickly go into prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day, for this is the day that you have made. We are rejoicing. We are glad in it. God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your favor. God, I thank you for your trust. I thank you for your blessings. Father, I thank you for just being God all by yourself. There is no one to stand beside you or next to you or even try to outdo you. We thank you. I thank you. Even now, Lord, as we come, we just ask that you would just anoint this message that's going to be spoken by the man of God, crown his head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Father, let him speak forth the word on this morning, the word that will change, the word that will deliver, the word that will set free, the word that will make every crooked way straight, the word that will bring us up out of dark places, the word that will bring clarity to questions that have been asked. The word, God, it's the word. The word and the anointing is what we need. Now, God, as we come, amen, we just lay aside every weight that so easily besets us this morning. Father, we come to hear a life-changing word. We're expecting you to show up. We're expecting our lives to be impacted by your anointing and your presence. We thank you, God, for all that you have done. We thank you for what you're getting ready to do. Even now, Lord, we ask that you will begin to stir up the gifts in each and every one, those that are under the sound of my voice, God, those that are here under my presence or in my presence. Father, I ask now that you will begin to stir up the gifts in your people. Begin to shake us out of apathy and out of the spirit of mediocrity or just being mediocre. Father, I ask that you would just begin to charge us with your purpose and that we may complete your destiny. In the name of Jesus, you said in your word that your food was to do the will of the one that sent you and to complete your work. We're asking for that same anointed word. We're speaking that over our lives this morning that we complete or our will, our purpose, our design, our food, our existence is to do your will of the one that sent us and to complete your work. In the earth, in the name of Jesus. God, let your spirit and mantle of prayer begin to fall upon your people now. God, we need to get back to the prayer. We need to get back to our falling on our faces and seeking you like never before. God, we need to go beyond just praying for our needs, our wants, our circumstances, us. Get us out of the me and the I and the us and start praying, God, your will in the earth. Start praying that the kingdom come, that the kingdom begin to manifest. God, help us right now to forget about just us and begin to seek and pray, Father, your will in this earth. We need to see the manifestation of your glory, your power, and your strength. We glorify you, God. We thank you. We praise you. We magnify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you for the wonderful prayer. God is doing some wonderful things here. And I'm excited that he would choose to use us. Do you know that God could use anyone and anybody and anything to get his glory? Yet still, he chose to use us. And we don't take that lightly because we understand that at any moment, he could change his mind. Now I'm saying that. But we understand that what God has done is he's called us to walk out the purpose and the plan that he's established before the creation of the world. Amen. Before the foundation of the world was, he had already set and established this that we're doing. So our part now is simply to walk it out. Amen. And as we're walking it out, thank you, daughter, we'll find that God's purpose and plan enacted in our life brings us into wholeness. It brings us into our prosperity, our wealth, our health, all those things. Amen. And let me say this real clear right here, right now, because there's too many people trying to get something from God without going through the process to be positioned properly. Amen. To get from God what he has already designed for them. And you got to go through the process. There's no other way to look at it. There's no other way to say it. God bless your heart and all your parts. Amen. But you're going to have to go through the process. Amen. Let's look at your neighbor real quick and just say, you got to go through the process. Yeah, that's right. You got to go through it. And If I wish I could just get everything that I ever wanted and never have to change a thing in my life, and you know, everything would cater to my likes and whims, and but God didn't design us like that. And you have to understand that God, everything that you're doing is so that you can conform to the image of His dear Son. That's what God is looking for. That's what God is working us to. Amen. And as we begin to conform to the image, then we begin to have the things that God has already mandated for us. Amen. There's no good thing that He will withhold from you, but you can't get to those good things that He's not going to withhold from you until you go through the position properly to receive what He has for you. Amen. And so it is, as we finish the this right here with the other man. As I was ministering this last week Maryland, amen, the Holy Spirit dropped this into my spirit as we began to deal with it and look at it. And the title of this was, I'm the Man. And when we get to the point where we say, I'm the other man, we understand what has transpired up to this point. Amen. So let's read it, 1 Samuel 10, and we're going to start the first verse, and we're going to go down to the ninth verse, man. And there we'll find the passage of scriptures that we're getting into, and we'll find the foundation of our lesson for the end. Last Tuesday, and I want to encourage you all to go on to the archives and get the message. Last Tuesday, I was ministering the first part of this, and we went through 1 Samuel, the ninth chapter, and set up the foundation for where we are today. So let me just give it to you in a nutshell so that we don't have to repeat that, amen, and you can get what you need to get right now. And that simply is this. Moses, Lord Jesus, I said Moses. Samuel and Saul, amen. Saul, father, Kish, amen. Thank you, Lord. It's what happens when you multitask. Samuel's is a seer, and he's positioned in the town. And Saul has destiny upon him, but he can't get to Samuel until there's a circumstance that brings the two of them together. The circumstance happens to be the sheep, amen, that Saul's father has, Kish, and those not sheep, donkeys. The donkeys, amen, that Kish has have come up missing, amen. And as they come up missing, they go looking for them, and Kish sends his son Saul, a servant, after him. All right. The technology is catching up with me now. Amen. There we go. Yes. So as they're going looking for him, they get to the point of exhaustion and frustration because they can't find the donkey. Saul simply says, let me go back home before my father ceases to care about the donkeys and starts caring about me. So let me go. Let's go back home. And a servant says something that is life-changing. He says, before we go back, in this town here, there's a seer. And when we go to see the seer, amen, the seer can tell us where your father's donkeys are. Now, he said, well, before we can go there, Saul says this. He said, before we can go there, shouldn't we take a gift? And I have nothing. We've eaten up all the bread. But the servant said, I have a quarter of a shekel of silver with me, and we can use that. Well said, said Saul. They go towards the town. Now, the thing is, and I make this point, and I'm going to make it again. When you go to places and people tell you in order to hear from God that you have to sow a seed or give a gift in order for you to hear from God, they're actually using that word out of context, amen, because we do not see here where they had to give anything for what God had already ordained. And we know that God had ordained it because the Bible clearly tells us that before, on the day before, that Samuel, right, had already received the word from the Lord. Amen. And the word that Samuel received from the Lord was concerning Saul. He said, tomorrow about this time, I'll send a Bethlehemite to you. And this is what you're going to tell him. And this is what you're going to do. In other words, I don't need your gift. I don't need your offering in order to open up my spiritual eyes so I can see. I need to be connected to the source. Amen. And when I'm connected to God in the spirit, he'll show me what I need to see even before you show up. So I don't have to fleece the flock. Amen. In order for me to go on and hear from God, I have to simply let God be God, but I need to simply be his servant. Amen. And if I'm his servant, then that means that I can do what he says, and I can walk according to his plan, purpose for my life, and we'll all have what we need to have because God will not leave me deficit. Amen. I will not be in a deficit state. I won't be deficient. Amen. I won't be in lack, in want, serving God. Amen. Howbeit, while you're going through your process, you might not have everything you want. But when you are satisfied with Jesus alone, you'll find out that you have everything that you need. Amen? Look at your neighbor and tell them, you know, everything that you want comes later. Right now, you got everything you need. Amen. So while you're going through that process, God makes sure that you have all your needs taken care of. You don't always get everything that you want, but you always get everything that you need. Amen. So when God speaks to us, then we'll know that there's a word that he has for us, and that word that he has for us will lead us into what we need to have. Amen. Into all sufficiency, the word says. Amen. Amen. And as we go into that, we'll know that we'll be where we need to be. We'll get what we need to get. We'll do what we need to do. In the fullness of time, we see through that passage of scripture that God had set up in Samuel that he would go to the cook and the cook would do certain things. Samuel set aside certain things, a portion, the thigh portion with the upper parts and all of that, the meat that was set out for him and things. And when Samuel got, when he got a vision of Saul, the Holy Spirit said, that's him. That's the one that I'm talking about. Amen. And as he began to deal with him, then he could begin to deal with the reality. Amen. That what God has spoke to him is coming to pass. Now, we get all the way down, they eat, everything happens. End of the chapter, Samuel tells Saul to send a servant on. He's going to speak to him. Then we get to the beginning of the 10th chapter where we're going to start at here. Amen. And I want you to know that as we look at this, God has something that he's doing. Amen. And when we know what God is doing, then we'll take it to heart that what God is doing is always for our benefit. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell them that God hasn't forgotten you. And he hasn't forgotten about you. Yeah, I know that's right. Samuel here then at the very beginning begins to tell Saul what's going to happen to him. But before he tells him that, amen, he goes into something that is very important here. He begins to share with him what's going to happen, but he anoints him. So let's pick it up here, 1 Samuel 10 and 1. Thank you, Lord. Reading from the New King James Version. And I'm grateful for technology, but I love it when it works properly. Amen. Yes, here we are. It says, then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? When you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then you shall go on forward. Everybody say, on forward.
On forward.
From there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. There are three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is, and it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a string instrument, a tambourine, and a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them, listen to this, and be turned into another man. Let it be, when these signs come to you, that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. So it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart. Everybody say another heart. Amen. And all those signs came to pass that day. Now, listen here. As we begin to get into this and really deal with it, you have to understand that there's a few things that happen here. First of all, in the first verse here, we see that he is anointed. Amen. And you have to understand that the way that they would anoint kings in the Old Testament, and this establishes it, amen, is that there was a private anointing. And then there was a public acknowledgement of the anointing. Amen. And so it is for us today that we go through a couple of processes. The Holy Spirit will speak to you and tell you who you are. Amen. And then those in spiritual leadership will know who you are. Amen. Amen. And that's interesting because there's a lot of people who haven't gone through any process of validation. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? They just want people to take them at their word that they're anointed. They haven't sought any type of training. They haven't gone through anything. They don't want nobody to tell them that, you know, you have to wait before the Lord and speak to him and all the rest of that. You don't have, They don't go through any of that. Amen. They just, you know, I saw online how I could send certain amount of money to this website and they would send me a doctorate and I went to go get it because, you know, I feel that I'm a doctor. Well, listen, if you feel that you're a doctor and you don't go through the process of obtaining your doctorate, you don't have a doctoral thesis, which means you don't have a thought at a doctoral level, then when somebody challenges you and your process of matriculation, you can't stand because there's nothing to stand upon. That means that you can't just grab a hold, amen, of a title, amen. I was sharing with somebody else week before, I was sharing with them that what I went through to get to the place where I am, my anointing cost me, amen? And, you know, you can't get to glorification till you go through crucifixion, amen? And some people are trying to be glorified right now, but they don't want to be crucified. So all that's being glorified is their flesh that's still alive. And when God takes you through something, he has to, first of all, deal with you. Look at your neighbor and say, God has to deal with you first. I know that's not easy for us to say, and it's not easy for us to think about, because we would like to think that we came along and everything was right when we got here. Amen. When I showed up, everything just fell in place. I was the key. I was the catalyst to everything happening great that has happened and that will happen. And I want you to know that as long as you have the I in there, you have not arrived. Amen. Because our job, our purpose for being is to glorify God. And if Jesus showed up and he spent most of his time, if not all of his time, doing things to bring glory to the Father, how about you and me? How can we be a true Christian, which means that we follow after the life, the examples, the precepts of Christ, and then we don't do anything that looks like him? We got more people talking about how great and wonderful I am instead of talking about how great and wonderful he is. And even when we speak about him in this manner, him. We don't talk about Jesus. But I want you to know that there's power in the name of Jesus. And without that name, you don't have a him to talk about. Amen. See, him could be your friend. Him could be your best friend, your neighbor, your cousin, your mother, your father, anybody else who you want to name as him. But when you say Jesus, it is specific to Christ. Amen? So the first thing we see here is that as Samuel is beginning to deal with this, he takes time to anoint him. In other words, the anointing came at the very beginning of the process. I thought at the end of my process that I'm going to be anointed. No. At the beginning of your process, you are anointed. Amen? Now, the anointing allows you to go through the process of being able to carry out the assignment. Amen? In other words, it's the oil that you put on or the liquid that you put on the whetstone before you begin sharpening the knife. You understand? It helps the knife to glide across it so that it becomes easier to do the sharpening. Amen? And so it is that the anointing comes upon you so that you are chosen by God and you accept the choice. Now you begin to go through the process. Amen? Oh, okay, let me prove this to you. Let me show this to you. Mary is spoken of by Gabriel, amen? And as she's spoken to by Gabriel, and once she said, be it unto me according to your words, we don't see her instantly have a pregnancy and a child. We see her begin the pregnancy that she carries to term to bring forth Christ, amen? So the anointing happened at the beginning, but that anointing carried her through the process of the pregnancy. You see that? See, some people say, I'm going to get myself together, and I'm going to go to school, and I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to show up, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to go to this place, and then one day I'm going to come to church, and I'm just going to be anointed, you know? Well, guess what? If you got an anointing that came upon you, or if you have been anointed, then that anointing was to prepare you for the process. The alabaster box, amen. We see that the alabaster box is broken and the oil, the ointment is applied to Jesus, amen. And as they were talking about the fact that it happened, Jesus says that she was doing a good thing. Amen. Says she's doing a good thing because she's anointing me for my death and my burial. Right. He hadn't died yet. Right. He hadn't even gotten to Gethsemane. You see that? But the anointing comes prior to the process. Y'all see that?
So here Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? Notice the word his inheritance here. Because everything that you're dealing with, everything you're going through, everything you're going to go through concerning God's people, you have to remember that he's the shepherd. Jesus Christ is the shepherd, and you are an under-shepherd. In other words, don't get it wrong. These aren't your sheep. You've just been given charge over them. Amen? And when you realize that, then you allow them to develop. You allow them to mature. Amen? There are so many people who are stuck in dead-end churches, dead-end ministries that should have matured a long time ago. But the leadership kept them in place trying to make sure that they didn't lose members. Listen, if you get rid of the ones that should have gone, the ones that should have came will come, and there'll be more than the ones who left. Amen? See, we have to take time and make sure that we're dealing with the assignment. What's the assignment? My assignment is to mature you, amen? And as I mature you, then you begin to grow up, amen? That's a good place for you to look at your neighbor and just tell them it's time for you to grow up. Come on, say it again. It's time for you to grow up.
I know that's not popular. We don't want to think about that, you know. As long as mama can pray, as long as daddy can pray, my grandmother and the rest of them, my aunt, Nene, and all the rest of them can pray for me. That means that I don't have to worry about getting myself together to pray for myself. But guess what? You should be somebody else's aunt. You should be somebody else's Nene. You should be somebody else. You need to be praying for somebody else. But you can't pray for them until you get past you. Amen, somebody.
So he anoints them, kissed them. Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? And then he begins to give him directions. Amen. And I said it before, I'll say it again. It's an interesting that you'll go to God with a concern, with a question, and the first thing that God does is address your concern and your question. Because if he doesn't do that, then you'll be still thinking about your concern and your question. Amen. So while God's trying to deal with you, you'll still be thinking about your problem. So the first thing he does is deal with your problem. Amen. When Samuel saw Saul, the first thing he told him after he said, come with me, we're going up to the high place today, you will eat with me. He said, don't worry about it, you know, the sheep or the donkeys that you're looking for, because your father has found them. Okay. So here we see in the second verse, he addresses that again. Okay, just in case you didn't hear what I said, let me say it again to you so that you can focus on the words that I'm really saying to you. Because the donkeys were just the catalyst to get you here. Yeah. Amen? In other words, the craziness that you went through that brought you to Christ was just to get you to Christ. Yeah. But it's not the focal point of your arrival. Amen. You can let that go now because you already have what you need. You have an audience with your destiny. So let's think about my tomorrow and not my yesterday, because the donkeys represent what was going on in my yesterday. You see that? When I got here, I was concerned about yesterday. But now that I'm here, I have to focus on tomorrow. So let me deal with your yesterday. Yesterday is under the blood. Amen. Yesterday is already gone, amen? Anything that God has separated you from your past, let it be in your past. Listen, you can't get to the latter house until you let the former house go, amen? How can you have the latter will be greater when you refuse to let go of the former? So you're holding your greatness at bay because you simply won't let it go, amen? So the first thing he deals with his past. He says, listen, when you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin as Elsa. They will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. In other words, the issue of your past has been settled. You see that? Huh? And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is caring about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Amen. Huh? When you go forward from there, you will come to the terebinth tree at Tabor. Amen. So now, as he comes to this terebinth tree at Tabor, he sees three young men going up to God at Bethel. I wish I really had a lot of time to deal with this. Huh? So they're going up to worship. Everybody say to worship.
To worship.
Now, understand what he's doing, what they're doing here. One is carrying three goats. Amen. We understand that the goat is symbolic of the sin offering. Amen. Huh? There's two goats that are used. The first goat, the blood of it is put upon the second goat. The second goat is sent out to die in the wilderness, carrying and bearing the sins of the nation, of those who is covering. Amen. That's where we get scapegoat from. Amen. Huh? We also see that the Paschal lamb is symbolic of these goats here. Amen. Now, I don't have time to get deep into it. Amen. You need to do a little studying on your own. You'll see it there, though. Amen. But the goats deal with the sin. Amen. So why three then? Huh? They're going up to meet God, going up to God at Bethel because we don't have a temple set yet. Amen. So the Ark of the Covenant is still mobile. Amen. So they're going up to God at Bethel. They're going to meet him, three young goats. First goat deals with the sins of the nation. Amen. The second one deals with the sins of the family. And the third one deals with the sins of the nation, the family. And the personal, that's it. Thank you, Lord. Trying to get my notes to work with me. Amen. Huh? And as they go up, they offer a sacrifice. If you look in the Levitical law, the priest has to go in first to deal with themselves. Amen? So the first one deals with me. I have to deal with my sin. I have to deal with getting myself right. Amen. Now, the good thing about this here is that I don't have to take young goats. All I have to say is, Lord, forgive me. Amen. And at the point that I say, Lord, forgive me of my sins, the blood is applied to me and applied to my sins. Amen. And I'm okay from there. Amen. Amen. So as I begin to look and as I begin to deal, one of those goats deals with me. The second one deals with my family. As priest of my family, I cover my family. Amen? Huh? And when I deal with the sins of my family, as I cover them, then I'm able to be good to them. But then as a king, I have to be able to deal with the sins of the people. You see that? So as they're going, they're going to deal with these three phases. Amen. And the sacrifice will cover all. Amen. Another carrying three loaves of bread. Three loaves of bread deals with offering. Amen. I wish I had time to go into the showbread and the rest of those things. I would just tell you that it's interesting at this point that there's two loaves that are given to Saul. And Samuel tells them, and you shall receive them. You see that? Now, why is that important? It's important because what God has proclaimed upon you as you walk out the destiny and walk out the purpose of God, the assignment that he's given you, as you begin to walk those things out, you'll see that God has already designed for you to have the abundance that comes with it. You see that? That's why there was two given to him. Why? There's a witness here. Amen? Yes. Not just God blessing you, but God blessing those with you. Amen? Mm-hmm. See, I have to go forward and do what God said do because I know that he's going to bless me. Amen? But I'm not just doing it for me to be blessed. I'm doing it so that we can be blessed. Amen? Huh? And as we're blessed, then other people can look at us and see that the Lord is good. See, we already know that the Lord is good. Amen? We have tasted, we have seen, we know that the Lord is good. But those who are looking need to see that the Lord is good as well. Amen?
Amen.
And as they see that, they see it through your life. They see it through how God has blessed you, how God has taken care of you, and how you take care of each other. Amen. Huh? We got to show everybody that God is good. So you're going to receive two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. That means that God will cause people to come upon you that's going to actually be a blessing to you. Amen. And then after that, you know, you're going to another will be carrying a skin of wine. And we understand that the wine deals with revelation. Amen. But it also deals with libations. Amen. So as we begin to deal with those different things and those different terms, amen, libations basically is a remembrance of those things that have gone on before you. Amen.
Yes.
Huh? But now, you'll find out that in the libation that things that have gone on before you now don't entrap you, but you learn from the things that you have gone through that benefit you. In other words, new wine deals with new revelation. Amen.
Yeah.
So you have gone through some things, and instead of it being a personal issue, instead of it being something that tears you down and holds you down, instead of it being your excuse for bad behavior, it becomes a revelation of how God kept you and how you can use that to go and get somebody else and bring them out of the mess that they're in. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's why you went into it and came out of it. Not so you could just went through it and came out of it, but so that as you look back on it and you see it, you'll see other people going through it, and you can say, listen, God can bring you out because God brought me out. Amen?
Yes, sir.
See, that's what a libation is. It reminds me of what I went through and the wisdom that I gained from it.
Yes.
Amen? You see that? They will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from the hand. After that, you will come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And this is interesting here as I begin to look at it, because notice that at the hill of God is where the enemy was. You see that? It's an interesting that as you begin to deal with your revelation and how God is going to deal with you and take you up to the next place, that's where the enemy is. And it wasn't just an enemy. It was a garrison.
Oh, man.
So there are some strongholds around where you're going to be at.
Yeah.
Some things you're going to deal with. I want you to know that it's important for this to happen here. Because when we go back to the very beginning, we see that he was anointed commander.
Uh-huh.
You see that? And we see through history, looking back, that his main enemies that he fought against before he got twisted with David was with the Philistines. And some of you are going to have to fight with some stuff that has been around where you sought God. In your heart, you sought the Lord. But there were people trying to keep you from getting to him. And they set up stumbling blocks. And they set up all kind of boundaries and borders around you. Amen. I thank God for the way that I came up. Amen. Because I saw that there was spiritual warfare that actually happened in the church. We don't see spiritual warfare happening much these days. What we see is people having counseling sessions and trying to deal with different things. I see more armor bearers and adjunctants putting people out the church because they're being unruly than we see the man, the woman of God actually commanding the atmosphere and binding the enemy right there. We don't see it anymore. We don't see people casting out devils. You know? What they do is that if somebody come in and they act a fooled, then the first thing that happens is the armor bearers get up and go surround a person and try to get them calmed down and tell them if they don't, then they're going to put them out. You know, I don't see where Jesus ever put anybody out to church because they were demonically oppressed. I do see where Jesus cast the devil out, cast the demon out. Isn't it true that one of the things in Mark, the 16th chapter, about the 17th verse, is that they shall cast out devils? Huh? Say that loud, prophetess.
In my name.
In my name. Okay, so that means that the reason why we're not seeing this is because people are going in their name instead of in the name of Jesus. So when you get to a place where the Philistine garrison is set in the hill of God, you don't have no power to deal with the Philistine garrison. Amen? And it would happen. And it's important here because you have to understand that before he could even deal with them, they were the enemy. And the way that they got into that place was that they came in with force and they established themselves in the hill of God. And then they didn't just establish themselves, they brought support for their establishment.
Uh-huh.
You see that? So before that can be addressed, we first of all have to deal with who you think you are. Let me just ask you that question. Who do you think you are? Huh? When you think that you're nobody, then you act like nobody. When you think too much of yourself, then you act like you too much. But we see too much of yourself. You see that? Huh? And that's the reason why we talk about the other man. Because here we see a transformation that's going to take place. How does the transformation take place? I'm so glad that you asked. Let's look at it here. It says, and it will happen when you have come from have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets. Everybody say prophets.
Prophets.
In other words, God is always speaking, but we're not always listening. You understand? So God is always speaking concerning the situation, concerning the outcomes, concerning the direction of your life. But we're not always listening. Huh? And since we're not always listening, sometimes God has to get our attention. Hey, 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 get it together. I'm talking. And when we stop doing what we're doing and listen to God, then we can start to get the divine instruction that would change our life. Okay? So the group of prophets are coming down from the high place with string instruments, tambourine, flute, harp before them, and they will be prophesying. In other words, if God gave you something to do, do what God gave you to do. Isn't it interesting that we have evangelists that want to be prophets? We got prophets that want to be apostles. We got pastors who just want to be teachers and sit back. But, you know, your strength comes in you being who God called you to be. If you're an apostle, then be an apostle. If you're a prophet, be a prophet. You see that? These prophets were prophesying. You see that? If you're an evangelist, evangelize. If you're a pastor, pastor. If you're a teacher, teach. Amen? Because there are people who are waiting on you to be who you are so they can become who they need to be. You see that? Huh? And they will be prophesying. And then the Bible says here in the 6th verse, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. That means after you have dealt with your past, after you have dealt with your sin, after you have dealt with the situations in your life, after you realize that God is going to bless you, amen, and God is going to continue to bless you, amen, the witness of the two loaves, amen, and as you keep going, as you come to the problems and the issues of your life, the Philistine garrison, in the place where you seek your deliverance and your place of worship, when you get to the place where your relationship with God, you get to there and the enemy is there, when you get to all of that, then as you begin to go through the process of matriculation, you'll come to the place where God will begin to deal with you. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them. In other words, if you're in a house and you are in alignment with the house, then whatever God designed the house to be, you'll become what it is. Amen? Notice here, he didn't become an apostle. He didn't become a pastor. He didn't become an evangelist. I understand in the text at that time they didn't have these figures, but they did have other figures. And notice that he did not become any of them. He became what they were. They came down as a group of prophets prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he started prophesying with them. And look what the word says after that. Huh? And they will be prophesying, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Amen? And as you are turned into another man, then that means that now you are being equipped. Through this process, you're being equipped now to do what it is you need to do. How do we know that? And let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. Now, it's important for us to see this fully as we need to, because God is trying to get us to understand that when we get to the then point, amen, as we begin to deal with the Spirit of the Lord coming upon us, the Spirit of God coming upon us, as we begin to deal with that, then God has already gotten us to a place where we have come to our destiny. Amen? And that destiny simply is this. There is a choice to make. It is the fork in the road. Amen? Now, you can choose at this point to continue forward, or you can go backwards. I'm telling you that the door going backwards is going to be hard to get through, because at this point you have already gone through and seen some things. Why is it important for Samuel to have spoken to Saul in great detail? Because the task ahead of Saul was so great that he needed to know that this was the Lord. So God didn't just speak to him and say it. God went through to prove to him that this was him speaking. You see that? Huh? That means that you don't just get a word and run with it. You get instruction with the word. And notice, Samuel never gave up coverage of that word or coverage of Saul. You see that? Huh? Because as he's talking to him, at first he said, you shall go down, and surely I will come down to you. In other words, you have to believe and understand that the word and the way that you got here is the way that you're going to continue going forward. God never sends us into an assignment and leaves us there without sending support with us. In other words, when God does something, he does it like the military. There's logistics, but there's always support. Amen? We got to get you there, but we got to support you being there. You see that? But let me deal with this here in my few minutes that we have left. I told you that as he began to go forward to deal with this, there's two things that happened to him. He hears the words that deals with every issue and prepares him for what's coming in his life. He hears these words here in the seventh verse, and let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. So now he has got to the place where God is with him, and then Samuel makes sure he knows that you're not by yourself. God is going to continue to lead you. You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings 7 days. Everybody say, wait.
Wait.
Say it again, wait.
Wait.
7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. Now, there are people who are being, you're going through your process and you get to a certain level. And at a certain level, you feel that you have seen, you know, you can hear the voice of God. You're ready to run. You're ready to go do what God told you to do, but you're not ready to submit. You're not ready to have Samuel still in your life. Samuel told me everything I need to hear. I'm on my way. I got to go do what God said to. Listen, don't forget that with all of this, Samuel speaking to him, Samuel's still the one who's hearing from God for him. Huh? So it was in the ninth verse. So it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart. How can I do everything that you told me to do? I can't do it with my heart. My heart deals with my emotions. My emotions deal with my past hurts, my past concerns, my fears, my anxieties. So I can't do what God said do and still have my old heart. I need a new heart. Amen?
Amen?
And when I begin to deal with the new heart, then I begin to see that God not only called me into some great things. You see that? God is going to sustain me through those things. But before I get to those things, God has to change me.
Yes. That's true.
See, when I go through a change, then when I get to the place where I should prophesy with the prophet, I won't throw off and say, well, I never prophesied before. I will do what I need to do. I like the words here, amen, in the Message Bible, because I just like how it sounds here, amen. And it really gives clarity to the word here, amen. And it simply says, amen. It says, you'll run into a bunch of prophets coming down from the shrine playing harps and tambourines, flutes and drums. Amen. And they'll be prophesying. Before you know it, the Spirit of God will come on you and you'll be prophesying right along with them. And you'll be transformed. You'll be a new person. So before you can say, I am the other man, you have to get to the place where you allow God to transform you. What are you talking about, man of God? I'm talking about you allowing God to conform you or transform you. And I'm also talking about you conforming to the image of God. Huh? Hmm? When you conform, then that means, see, the transformation is the part that he takes care of. But the confirmation is the part that you take care of. Because you have to be pliable to the change. You understand what I'm saying? You have to be pliable to what God is trying to do and allow him to do it. Amen? Amen. I'm not done. I just got to stop here. Amen. Come on, bow your heads. Bow your heads. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this lesson, Lord. Even, Lord, as we stop here, Lord, we stop at a place, Lord, but we understand that there's more in this word that you want to say to us. And we will finish this word on Tuesday, Lord, you willing and you saying so, Lord. Now, Lord, even as we go from here, we go from a location, but never from your presence. I pray, Lord, for those of us who have been fighting with the decision of our destiny, that we will simply say yes to you and get out the way. Allow you to do the transformation. Our job is to be pliable and to conform to the transformation. Lord, we're not going to fight it anymore. We're trying to get down the road. Time is winding up. We wasted enough time on this. We want to do what you say do. Now, Lord, help us here now to be the children of God and to go on and to demonstrate your power, your majesty. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, Lord, we pray that if there's anyone that's not saved, that they will simply pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sin. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church, so that they can be matured and developed and go on to do the assignment that you set for them in creation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. I pray for those, Lord, who need miracle signs and wonders, that it manifests now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the release of the Spirit, and thank you for the power of Jesus Christ in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr. There you'll learn more about us. We pray that you become a vision partner with us. Help us as we spread this gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Amen. Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. And we want to remind you that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.